Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Like, you are feeling it in a different way. Like, it's wild. You know what I'm saying? The monsters come out, and it's like, these are monsters. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as Misha Green would say, it's wild as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like I would just, she would say that to me, and I'd be like, okay. No, John, it's going to get wild as fuck. That's how she would say it. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's roll. What's up? I'm actor Jonathan Majors. And if you want to hear raw conversations about your favorite films and TV shows, subscribe to Watch Less with Cal and Frasier. 1 + 1 = 3. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got something else going on, you know? I mean, I was very excited to come join y'all.
Special edition of Watch Less. As always, it's your boy Cal, deputy editor of Complex's Pop Culture Channel. The homie Frasier Tharp is around. He's actually in this conversation that we just had. We're slap dashing this thing together and putting it out for you. If you're a fan of Lovecraft Country, shouts out to the listener who says they loved our Lovecraft Country episode and wanted to turn this into a Lovecraft Country podcast. We're not on that road yet, but this week we have a conversation with Jonathan Majors, one of the stars of Lovecraft Country, a show that delves into not just a world of horrific monsters and beasts, but it also delves into what America was like not too long ago with the racist South of the Jim Crow era. So stick around, check out our conversation with Jonathan Majors right after this quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we start anything, we're recording this Sunday, August 23rd. So happy birthday, Kobe Bryant. Again, just want to get peace and respect, you know, get that out the way. I do also, I mean, this is a pod. I may say this, you know, a couple of times, but, you know, right now, this is a podcast. This is an interview that I think we've been, I feel like it's been a long time coming over the last couple of years. It's been good to see this brother shining, you know, literally going from seeing nobody out there to seeing, I mean, if true heads should remember him playing Lil Man and White Boy Rick. I think me and Frasier might have went to the screening for that together. I remember that was a fond afternoon. One movie we bring up a lot on this podcast is The Last Black Man in San Francisco. I think for a lot of people, when it comes to critical acclaim in seeing our guest Jonathan Majors, it's been his work in that moving and very, you know, even in a time of a pandemic, that's still a very relevant conversation for a lot of people in a lot of communities. But today, actually, 2020, even before we get into what we're talking about today, this man played Delroy Lindo's son.
Had a hot spring.
In Spike Lee's The Five Bloods, which you should have seen because that was on Netflix and everybody should have took the time out to watch that. But again, the focus of this interview, the reason we have this man on the line, is because of Lovecraft Country. Shout out to the reviewer who said when we did one episode about Lovecraft, and they said we make this a Lovecraft Country podcast. So I warned you guys. we had a special guest on the way, Jonathan Majors, one of the stars of Lovecraft Country, which again, executive produced by Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams, created by the amazing and talented Misha Green. Jonathan Majors, welcome to the Watch Less podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for coming
on. Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you look back at the last couple of years and be like, damn, you know, I really been on a roll? Like, how do you, what's going through your mind currently?
It looks like you haven't taken a break until now.
Right.
Well, check it out. We start work tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
For the film I'm on now, Harder They Fall.
Okay.
Do I look back? Nah, man, I don't. I don't really look back. You know, I just kind of think about what, you know, what's next. You know, clean your plate. You know, put it out there, you clean your plate, you know, and keep it moving.
That's what's up. Have you been, are you the type of guy that's online looking at the reactions? I mean, we're a week removed from the first episode premiering. Have you checked out any of the reviews, any of the comments on the timeline?
Nah, man. I mean, I'm pretty simple, man. I literally was hustling here from the stables. I was just on my horse.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know, so like, you know, that's my thing, you know, but, no, I don't have any socials or anything like that. So it would take a lot of intention. I may have too much ego to say, let me see what's going on, you know? Well, or no ego. I mean, I don't know. But I don't check.
You can rest easy because judging from the response last week, it's dope and it's going to be a new timeline show for sure, you know?
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's really amazing, you know? And it's I'm also in Santa Fe, New Mexico, so... You know, you don't see the homies out here. You know, so okay, nobody lets you know. You know, in New York, you know, you get on the train and like, yo, what up?
Yeah,
it's Mark.
Yeah,
right. You know, and it's like, hey, what's up? You know, but here, there's no barometer. You know, so it's kind of cool, but I'm glad people are fucking with it, man. It's, you know, it's for us. So if we love it, it's on.
I think by the time you get back to quote unquote civilization, I think you're going to be getting a lot of looks. A lot. I mean, because again, you know, in seeing. We'll talk a little bit about Sunday night's episode. You're in the nude. I mean, it's interesting because we talked to Yaya and we were talking to him about his regiment, you know, to make sure he was working out and everything. And I'm like, oh wait, I'm assuming Jonathan had to hit the heavy bag. He's in there doing the push-ups and everything. Like, was it a crazy workout regimen to make sure you were fit and ready to be in the buff on HBO?
Nah, bro.
That's regular.
I played football growing up. I played basketball growing up. I was a boxer, you know.
Right.
I mean, lifting hay, man, that'll do it. You know. So, I mean, I wasn't crazy, you know. I wasn't drinking a lot of beer, nothing like that, you know. But for the most part, and also, it's like this: once you get the set, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
And really, once you got the job, it's too late because we can tell. Right. You know, you watch, you go, oh, that's fresh. Right. That's new money. That's new muscles, brother. Don't flex. Like it should be no flexing on you know in the game. Right. You know, so we actually had a joke on set where I'd be like, wait, let me do some push-ups. You know, it's just like it's nah. I did jump rope though. That's the thing though. I did while at work. I jump roped the entire time
because you're doing a lot of running. There's a lot of movement going on in there.
Yeah, it's really keep the breath up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I probably did the opposite. I did a lot of jump roping and ate maybe 12 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I literally ate one right when I still have some in my beard, I'm sure. I was like, hey,
But you burning that right off though. That there's no
way. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that's really the role, you know what I'm saying? The emotionality of it, the physicality of it, you know. I mean, that shit burns calories. You know what I'm saying? Yaya's my man. You know, we were in school together.
Oh, okay.
Yaya was a year above me.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, school Yale? Drama, yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, from Yale to HBO.
Right.
Hey, both of us, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did he talk to you about, you know, what you should be preparing for before Lovecraft came out?
No, it's like this, man. You know, I got a 7-year-old daughter, man. And one thing I learned about art, you know, and life, you know, with that similar is that you can prepare as much as you want to, man.
Right.
When it's go time, it's on. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have no idea what's going to happen, you know. That's also the blessing of, you know, being an artist, you know, nobody's journey is the same. You know, like the beautiful work that Yaya was doing in his film and his TV show, you know, it's different from mine simply because of, you know, the character and the world we're in.
Right.
You know, the amount of days we got to shoot a piece, you know, shit like that when the hiatus falls, you know. So, there was no chatting about it. Really, it's just, you just kind of hit each other, you know, if you find another journeyman that's really on that same path. And I would say, I don't have many, but I would say Yaya is probably... Yeah, it's probably the only one, you know, the only brother that, you know, if I'm in the city or whatever, we'll get up and sit and chat. But yeah, you know, I hit him, you know, he got his Emmy nomination, you know, I hit him. You know,
yes, sir.
Yeah, bro. And then he hit me with a screen grab. Uh-huh. Something he had said about me earlier. And I was like, yeah, it's my brother, you know? So
that's what's up.
Nah, no preparation, just holding the space for each other. No doubt, holding the space, you know?
Also, you talk about, you know, life experience and things like that, being a father, you know, when you first get a role presented to you, like a Lovecraft Country, and your character in particular is dealing a lot with, you know, father issues and familial issues, do you draw from, you know, your personal life, you know, be it you as a father or, you know, what you've gone through to bring that to this role?
The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, that's the short answer. And what I'll say to that is that's your groundwork. You know, you kind of start with that. And then for me, I always try to think, you know, as the work is moving forward, my life is moving forward. You know what I'm saying? So, for instance, Montrose Freeman, who plays Atticus's father, you know, mm-hmm. plays my father. There's certain situations in that we go through together where it's like, what is the ideal situation for me in my life that I didn't get to, that I yet have not been able to experience, you know, with my father? If Atticus can do that, that's where it's different. You see, Atticus is actually in a similar position, but he's a different man, you know?
Right.
And so I take what I need, you know what I'm saying? You take your individual hurt and then you apply it to, you know, those are the raw materials that Atticus is dealing with, you know, with Montrose. And then I think about my kid, you know, like, well, what was it like? What could it be like for her? It's different because male, female, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then you build from that. And then it's key to deal with the fella next across from you, you know, because Michael K. Williams is not my biological father. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I'm already lit. You know what I'm saying? I'm already lit in a way because I got that going on, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I actually just got a fucking FaceTime. I didn't do the option thing. From mm-hmm. like this ex girlfriend, and I was like, "Oh shit!"
Wow,
you know, so yeah, that's what I was like. Shit, man.
She must have been on the bus. She saw a poster or something, and said, "Oh, let me find out.
She saw Lovecraft trending right now.
Oh man,
it's crazy. Damn. You mentioned that, you know, you're in Santa Fe, and I think you've been there since lockdown, pretty much, right? So with this and with Five Bloods, I guess you haven't really had like a big moment yet of going out into the public and getting that stop and recognize yet.
Right.
Man, it's like this, man. Ain't nothing but, respectfully, you know, the demographic here is very different from,
I can imagine.
Say Harlem, where I stayed when I was in New York, you know. So, yeah, it's been wild, man. Like, literally, this is, like, the most contemporary contact I have, you know, with the homies. You know, something like this. Sure. You know, or I go, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I like it. You know what I'm saying? I really like it. You know, the fact that, you know, every night, I don't mind saying this, every night, you know, I pray, you know, Lord, just keep it humble, you know, keep it cool. You know what I'm saying? And to have a moment, you know, whatever, it is a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a moment, you know, to be in a moment like this and then be kind of held off someplace, you know, well, that's the prayer being answered. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no distractions. Right. Ain't no problems, you know?
Yeah, who would know?
I get up.
Who knows?
I go to gym.
Right.
You know,
no, because again, it's I didn't even think about that. It's been a hard, you know, the early summer was very hard for a lot of people, you know, again, present company included. So, you know, I think it's not like anything was staved off. It was still bad. But to be able to say, you know, praise God that, you know, you had a place where you could stay and not have to engage. I mean, that's very key. That's very key for mental health as well. Because once you get locked in a situation, you never know what's going to happen.
I mean, bro, yeah. I also feel like
it. Well, I guess tying it into Lovecraft, because, I mean, it's kind of like the roots of a lot of what's going on now is based off of what's going on in that show. I mean, when you first talk about, you know, what it was about, you know, the show that drew you to this role playing Atticus.
Man, so I mean, off top, the sequence, right? You know, when I first got the script, you know, we've all seen, hopefully, well, I know we have, we've all seen the opening, right? The thematic overture at the beginning of 101.
Yep.
Well, that's the first thing I read. You open the script, you read that, you go, whoa, fuck me, man. You know, it's like, are you going to do this for real? You know? and then you wake up, you know, then Atticus wakes up. And it's what I call dog shit reality. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's really just talking and listening with the queen, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, we just went over a bridge. Well, you know, farewell, you know, Jim Crow. You know, Good Riddance to Old Jim Crow. That's the end of it, you know? Mm. It's just so simple. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I really liked about it. The fact that Atticus, to me, was a very simple fella. You know what I'm saying? Very, 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 very complex, but only because he had experienced so many things. You know, it's not the fact that he was trying to be complicated. He wasn't tortured anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's the fact that he just had such a pure engine. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, the things he metabolized, he really metabolized. And they really stuck with him, you know? And so at the end of, we call it one-on-one, right? At the end of the pilot.
Yeah.
At the end of the script, before we get to the house, it's clear to me, you know, okay, he's a war veteran. He's a bibliophile. He's a father. I mean, he's the son of a father, you know. He's a nephew, you know. He's a black man. Y'all heard that new Pharrell Hov song?
Yeah,
yeah.
What do you think of it?
Oh, I love it, man.
Yeah,
it's like I do like it. I mean, I like it a lot.
You know? I like the video more.
I watched the video.
You gotta watch the video. Yeah. The video's really.
I will. Yeah. Okay. I'll watch it.
The video to me kind of like it kind of accomplishes what they were going for more than the bars do.
Bet.
You know? That makes sense.
Bet. That I was listening to it before we got on.
Mm.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, actually, I've been listening to it all this morning. If I'm being honest, I'm like one of those repeat heads. I put it on and I rock with it.
Yeah.
But to Atticus, he had all those things inside of him. You know what I'm saying? I thought, well, shit, we've not seen this before, you know. And even where I was in the trajectory of the roles that had come, you know, to me, I always look for the what is the experience, what is the complexity of the role, you know. And you kind of have to dig, and sometimes you have to craft it, you know. But in this case, probably because of Misha Green, you know what I'm saying, who's not going to write some two-dimensional black character. You know,
right.
Black characters, she's not going to do that. Jordan Peele's not going to sign off on that. You know, it was all there. And so it was bro, it was a cornucopia of, like, get it in, you know. It was, like, it was a huge opportunity, you know what I'm saying. The ambition of the man that was built was high. And I really don't want to fuck with something unless the responsibility's up. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's going to cost me something, I don't really want to engage, you know?
I hear you.
You feel me?
Yeah, no, 100%.
You know, we were talking about the reaction to the pilot last week on Twitter, and I think one of the reasons that it's, obviously the show's great and always would have hit no matter when it dropped, but I think dropping this summer, it really resonates in a crazy way. So a little bit of an unfortunate way when you look at some of the parallels,
right?
You know, with what's been going on in it. All the uprisings and everything.
I love that you said that, man, because that's one of the things you hate hearing. You know, it's like, oh my God, look how relevant your work is. How relevant, you know, it's so prophetic. I was like, nah, dog, it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it would have made sense and would have made an impact at any point. You know, I think there is something when art meets politics. You know what I'm saying? When art really is for the people. You know what I'm saying? And also, I mean, not to get too, you know, on it, but, like, by the people, like, I'm just a homie, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I got my education. I wouldn't got that. You know, I did that. But the whole cast, you know what I'm saying? Courtney B. Vance, like, if you talk to Courtney, you know, that's just he's not down home because he's a Yankee, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just a brother, you know what I'm saying? Michael K. Williams, it's us. Angie Noel is from down home. You know, you can hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a piece, you know, by the people. Right. You know what I'm saying? Jurnee Smollett, you know what I'm saying? Like, bringing the heat, you know? So that's why it hits the way it's hitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could have made it glossy and all that stuff, you know? But wouldn't nobody fucked with it for real. You know what I'm saying? Right. It would have been like, oh, this is a really cool show. Let's watch it because we in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Let's watch it because we in it. And it seems, you know, it would seem more polemic. You know what I'm saying? Than political, you know, than of the people. You know what I'm saying? This is for the proletariat. This is for the working class, all of us. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
But to hit now, you know what I mean? It's like, it feels like Harry Belafonte, you know what I'm saying? Or Muhammad Ali, you know what I'm saying? And the tertiary work they were doing in politics, you know what I'm saying? When they were using literally using his hands. You know what I'm saying? To move his political agenda forward. You know, Harry Belafonte was Sidney Poitier. You know what I'm saying? You can throw in Brother Marlon Brando in that conversation if you want to. You know what I'm saying? For the indigenous people of America. You know, so that's where we're at now, you know? And so and it's dope. It's dope. It's not like it's like, oh my God, what an important piece. You know, this. You know what I'm saying? I left Yale a long time ago. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it worked. It's fun. It's for us, you know, and the message we're giving is propping up and pushing forward those who are, you know, on the front lines with these protests. You know what I'm 100%. Saying? Those who have an agenda, you know what I'm saying, to make things better. You know what I'm saying? Also, it completely, you know, fucks up the agenda of those who are, you know, attempting to hold up this white patriarchy. You feel me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's dope. That's the most important. Dope. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's the most important thing. I think a lot of art sometimes just it gets kind of held up in being important. Right. And, you know, it can come off as a little humorless or a little joyless, too. Yeah. And this has a very fun balance.
Yeah.
Doing
the junket, I think it was, I might have been talking to Michael Kay and just mentioning the fun in the show and to see his face light up. So I think people forget, you know, he's searching for his father and there's these monsters and it's Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm watching and I'm like, damn, that music selection was dope. Or, you know, I'm picking out, because in episode two, I took the picture. I sent it to Frazier because there's a shot of Atticus by the window with the yellow shirt and the pants. I'm like, oh shit, that's Luke Cage right there. Like, there's so many hidden references in there to both like pop culture and horror that for me and like people that we're consuming stuff while also being, you know, aware of what's going on. There's so much candy in there in this show in particular.
That's the cool part about it, man. Like, one of the things I really love is the show's about legacy. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely a part of it, you know? And it's not just, again, it's about the people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we walking around with a legacy. So here I come. Here we all come, right? Actors from you know, 20, we shot in 2019. You know what I'm saying? The lion's share we shot in 2019. From 2019, stepping into a world that's in the 1950s, right? And then you hear music from 2020, 2019. You know what I'm saying? Or you hear something from 1970, right?
Right.
Oh, the 60s, excuse me, Whitey on the Moon, right?
Yep.
That's the dopest moment as far as, you know, a thrust of connectivity that I've really experienced. You know, we're about to see this in episode two, or people have seen this in episode two. So it goes like this. You see Atticus. Atticus Freeman is the ancestor of this brother. You know what I mean? You know, and so you have three generations, three lines of us moving through this space, right? And it's getting pushed out to my daughter's 7 years old. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she ain't watching it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is she allowed to watch
it? You know what I'm saying? You know, but I show her clips, you know, like that's when I get to it. But you know what I mean? Like that, that's beautiful. That's art. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just banging our heads for the fuck of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a connectivity. The drums that we had on the Ivory Coast, on the Gold Coast, are the same drums that we banging down the street, you know what I'm saying? Right. Down home in Texas, up in New York, wherever we may be, you know what I'm saying? It's in us.
Yeah. You know? I knew about Whitey's on the Moon, so when I saw the title of the episode, I'm like, yeah, that's dope. Of course they would do that. But, I usually get mad at shows that, like, there's a lot in an episode, but I think the way that Lovecraft, like, it never stops. Like, the pace is always moving, and we're always getting to the next thing. So while I definitely remember what happened 20 minutes ago, what we were worrying about then, it has nothing on what we're worrying about now. You know what I'm saying?
And
getting, once that point hit, I'm like, of course that's the song they're going to use when this man is being pulled back and forth with all these, and then I'm looking at the time, I'm like, wait, there's still like another 15 minutes in this episode. Like, normal shows would stop it at that point.
Yeah.
You get these cool shots and like, then we get, you know, the car crash and, you know, Unk, man, I felt for Unk, yo.
RIP out to Courtney.
Yeah, I mean, yo. I
felt like it was coming, but I was still surprised.
It was Uncle George, man.
When he made it out of the pilot alive, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're not going to, you know, kill a mentor. Take and the then God. They got to this one, like, damn.
Yeah, man. That was early on. Mm-hmm. We shot that. And it was the first day. Because, you know, Michael Kay's not in the first one, right? He's not in the pilot,
right?
You know. So that was the first day you had, you know, the a good amount, you know, of the principals. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Atticus, Letty, Uncle George, and Montrose. Mm-hmm. It's the first time Montrose was added to the mix. You know, it's literally his first day. And, man, when we shot that, yeah, talk about bringing in the ancestors. I was actually listening to a song on my iPod called A Tune for Pop, which is a song my uncle wrote for my grandfather.
Okay. But wait, who's your uncle? Is he an artist, a musician?
Yeah, he's a jazz musician, Charles Anderson. He does Christian jazz.
Okay, that's dope.
Very, very, very cool guy. Mm. He is my inspiration for Uncle George.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And so I'm listening to that, and Journey is, we're outside, we're walking up and down, we're fighting the light, and I'm coming out hot, Andy's coming out hot because he just ran out, you know. And we're sitting there, man, we get to walk up, and, as the scene plays out, it's a procession, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As Letty and Atticus begin to walk towards, essentially, the hearse.
Yeah. You know?
And it's in that moment you realize, I realized that how much Atticus was attempting to protect everybody. It's the first time it all dropped in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time we see our hero fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and he fails at a mission he didn't even know he was trying to uphold.
Right.
Right. And the final line that said in that episode is, I'm sorry, Uncle George.
Yeah.
It's so strange to talk so freely about it. Cause I'm like, I feel like I'm spoiling.
Nah, I promise you, this is dry.
We wouldn't do that to the people.
You talking about it freely, it sounds crazy because of how it normally is. We're the ones that are then having to turn this around and try and, make this a thing for Monday. So after people watch it, if they want to get more, and get a little in tune to the episode, it's a lot. But, I would much rather have this conversation with you than the normal,
wait until you see
this. Yeah.
Right. It's no fun.
In hearing you talk about it, I guess he's sorry because in a way he had to make that choice. He was driven to the choice between Letty and Uncle, but he had to do something, and he went to her as opposed to going back to the cars. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's deep because it wasn't scripted. You see, that was that's what I was trying to get at. That whole thing wasn't scripted.
Wow.
Once Atticus gets to the car, movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Shows over, and again, all of us coming together because we shot it once. And I remember saying to Dan Sankheim, who was the director of that episode, he said something to me. I said, man, because we had shot it, and he was like, great, great, wonderful, 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 wonderful. And I was like, it was one of the first times I didn't really check in with anybody. I was just kind of like, nah, we got to go again, man.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go again. And again, as I said, we pressed by the light. And he was trying to move on, and I said, no, we got to go again, bro. Mm-hmm. And I looked over at Journey, and Journey was just, whatever you want to do,
mm-hmm.
Just to at least get it shot so you can have it just in case, somebody
it just, wants well, to here's it. This is my take, man. I just say it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. The first time we shot it, it wasn't right. Saying? And I remember, and then Misha came out and said, what's wrong? I said, we got to go again. We just got to go again. I said, uh-huh. That's not, everybody, in my opinion, everybody didn't show up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about the actors. I'm talking about everybody that got the actors to where they were. You know what I'm saying? Like, our folks didn't show up. And I remember saying to Misha, I said, if y'all want to go with that, I'm in Dallas. You know what I'm saying?
She's
phrase I use for it. Like, I'm in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like, no, we go again. We'll go again. We're going to go again. You know what I'm saying? And I kept saying, it's for the homies. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's for the homies. Somebody's going to watch that and be like, that's for the homies. And we hit that bitch, man. We went in, we went out, and we did it again.
And we hit it. I sent Frazier the text when I saw it because he'd seen the screeners, and I was going through, and I was like, I literally said, I'm hurt, man, RIP, Unc, and he hits me back.
He's
like, I knew that one was coming. Like, it was, that's a real moment. Yeah. I felt like I lost my uncle for a second. You know what I'm saying?
And again,
I think that kind of just speaks to the beauty of, again, what you guys are doing as an ensemble, but like Courtney B. Vance specifically, as an actor and as a talent, like anytime you know he's in there, even if he's in there for a little bit of sunshine, he's going to show up and show out.
He's so impactful. You know what I'm saying? He's so impactful. And he has such a way of letting everybody in,
mm-hmm.
And he don't got to do that. It's Courtney B. Vance. You know what I'm saying?
Legend.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to do that.
Now, going back to the Jim Crow stuff we were talking about, what is it like to live in that? Because, us being three black men, we know all about that. We even heard some firsthand experiences from mm-hmm. that era, I'm sure. But watching the show, it kind of strikes me almost as like, in a way, Mad Men is, where it's like, it doesn't just feel like a period piece. You're like fully immersed in it.
Right.
And it can still be crazy to see some things like the, you know, the segregated stops, like the white people at the gas station, all that stuff. Even knowing that it happened, it's still crazy to see. So I'm interested to know how it is to live in that era when you're on set.
It's deep, man. I mean, this is a big country, you know, that we live in. And I grew up in a town called Cedar Hill, Texas, you know, outside of Dallas. And then also spent a lot of time in Riesel, Texas, on my grandparents' farm. The spirit, the ghost of Jim Crow is heavy there, you know. It's very heavy. So I had that, you know, I had that in my body, you know. And I remembered it, but I you know, North Carolina, New Haven, et cetera, you know, I kept getting out of it, you know what I'm saying? All
right.
So when we hit set, and, I mean, we talk about the pilot, you know, that bus breaks down, or the first episode, the bus breaks down, and, you know, you're outnumbered, you know. You are outnumbered and outgunned, you know, and the intent is to... it just feels like, I mean, there's criminal intent. Everybody's looking at you with criminal intent. Right. You know, that's what it feels like. It's like, oh man, like the fear factor is no longer there. See, that's the difference, I would say, between the time periods. It's the first time I'm thinking about this. Because when I was growing up, it was tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the South. You know what I'm saying? It's Texas, whatever, you know. But what I didn't experience there, what I had on my side there, which is odd to say, is that they also feared me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Jim Crow era, there is no fear.
Right. It was right. There is no anything else.
Yeah, they do not fear you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like women aren't clutching their purses. They're daring you.
100%. Yeah.
Right? Because we will if you don't move off the sidewalk, right? That's the thing. There's a moment where we get out the car and we're walking. This is in one again. Mm-hmm. We're walking into the diner, and there's white folks walking towards us. Right, a pair of white ladies are walking towards us,
mm-hmm.
and we don't move off the curb. That is, I mean, that's some fuckery right there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was expected. You know what I'm saying? We're not even talking about getting pulled over by a police officer.
Right.
We're talking about literally walking down the street. You can't walk in the street.
No.
You know what I'm saying? When Letty drops her glasses and looks that white lady right in the eye, you know, that is a hanging offense. I bullshit you not.
No,
hanging offense.
Right.
You know, the entire, I remember when we were at the gas station and we were setting it up and Uncle George was there. I was there. Letty was there. And it's when the teenagers begin to antagonize us, right?
With the monkey,
That's right. The first time we were doing that, there's a moment where Atticus was to charge the guy, was to walk at him pretty forcefully.
Yeah.
And then we get in the car and run off. Uncle George, Corbin B. Vance said, "Oh no, you can't do that."
Right.
We can't do that. If we were to do that, we wouldn't even get to the slow chase scene.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That boy would have called whoever, and we would have been hung up, put out someplace, chopped up someplace on the side of the ditch. You know what I'm saying?
Would have been Emmett Till. I mean, that's Emmett Till.
You know what I'm saying? So to live in that, my brothers, you know, because that was the environment. It wasn't just like, oh, racism, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, oh, this is real oppression.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the game is fixed and rigged, and they are showing you how it's rigged.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? You skating with one wheel. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of that next week. We won't spoil that one for the people.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Next week really gets into a lot of that.
Yeah.
It does, which is dope. You know, I mean, I think, prepare yourself. I think Jenny Smollett
is going for the Emmy in that one.
You know, you said it, you know? Yeah, she's running off with it. Yeah,
right.
I remember, because it was so strange, because the way we shot, we were never really apart, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were days where I would work. There were episodes where I'm working a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? But that episode, shit, I showed up to work maybe four times out of that shooting schedule. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I worked, you know,
a week off.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck, you know? But when I saw that episode, I went, oh, that's a wrap.
Yeah. It's a really, and again, it speaks to just the layers of the show. I mean, yes, the show is about these monsters. I want to get into that side of it a little bit, like the literal monsters that you see, of course, it's also about the actual monsters that, you know, can, you know, harm and murder black folks. I mean, this, again, it's not ancient history. It wasn't that long ago when the show takes place. But I have to wonder, like, the show is a horror, you know, and again, and sometimes episode three, yeah, I turn my TV up a little bit, that sound bar, I'm like, oh, what, like, you know, I'm bugging out in the living room. Yeah. So how, like, were you hype to be in a horror show? Were, are you a fan of horror, the genre at all, or?
Yeah, man, I think I've watched every single Stephen King.
Okay.
Movie, you know what I'm saying? Like that's pretty much ever been made. Me and my siblings, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, watch this, man. You sit in a dark country house with your two siblings, your grandmama, you know, maybe 50 feet away. Y'all curled up around this TV, watching Stephen King's It, and all the characters are your age.
Yeah.
Oh man, when I say me, there's three of us. We were on top of each other in that bed that night, on top of each other. You know what I'm saying? It was deep, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I love the feeling I got from it. You know what I'm saying? The thriller, horror vibe, you know?
Right.
And up until this point, had not really entered into that world, you know?
Yeah.
And so to do that, you know, and to do it, it's odd to say, right? But kind of as a black man, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like not just a character, you know, but like, no, the protagonist, you know, the protagonist family in this story are black folks. You know what I'm saying? So
rare.
Yeah.
You are exactly. You are, I mean, yes, rare, brother. You know, like you are feeling it in a different way. Like you, it's wild. You know what I'm saying? The monsters come out and it's like, these are monsters. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as Misha Green would say, it's wild as fuck. You know what I'm saying? She would say that to me and I'd be like, okay. No, John, it's going to get wild as fuck. That's how she would say it. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's roll. And I didn't know what she meant until we would get to set and I'd see what they call the previs and I'd see what the animal looks like, you know. And me and Jenny would have, I mean, we would okay, this is a track meet week. This is track meet week. We will be running.
Yeah, y'all move.
You know, that's why I was on the PB&Js.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's more about keeping my way up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was like, I need to. Yeah. You feel me?
It's funny you said that note about playing black protagonists too, because again, not to get into too many details, but there's a great moment next week. Next week deals with haunted house stuff. And there's a great moment where you just kind of say, well, you got to move out. Which is what black people always scream at the screen usually watching a white horror movie.
That's funny.
I think a lot is move out. I think it's time to go.
But
I think that's
what I think. But you know, it's interesting that you specifically mentioned Stephen King, because I was trying to wonder why, and I guess the only thing I can think of, and it makes perfect sense as to why everybody knows who Stephen King is. Those were some of the only movies that they would play on TV. Like ABC would be a miniseries. You would get like 3 hours one night, 3 hours the next night, and the time, it was one of the most things watched on TV. It's insane. Bro, to think
terrifying.
Of. It was it's like Salem's Lot or whatever. Like all those all those old Stephen King books, those big thick books turned into big ass TV miniseries for it that would just you know, own a couple days of the week. That's funny. That is funny.
Yo, and then you had like what, like Goosebumps and like Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Candy and this show is almost kind of in the spirit of those, and because you're getting a new flavor 100%. Every week, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, keep going, because like, I mean, that's the dope thing about the show, man. Because it's like every, you know, someone asked, "What was your favorite genre to play in?" I said, "Lovecraft Country." When it's all said and done, it's its own genre,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it's what we've done, you know, and hopefully, you know, as it rolls out through October, you know, people will go, I don't know how to categorize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just put a label on it, which is dope, because as Montgomery Allen said in Last Black Man in San Francisco, people aren't just one thing.
Right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And we as a culture, not just one monolith, you know what I'm saying? Like we contain multitudes, and on many levels, on the meta level, where Misha Green and his brother Jonathan Kidd and Sonya Winton, these other writers on the show, literally expanded the genre from themselves. They didn't copy and paste nothing. You know what I'm saying? They had all these ideas inside of them, you know, and then had the artistry to put a spine through it, you know what I'm saying, and connect it all together. I mean, it's quite phenomenal, you know, I think.
We watch a lot of TV, and this is like literally one of the first shows in a long time where I cannot predict what's going to happen next week.
Right, right.
Oh, my brother. Yeah.
He's laughing. Me too, like, I ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, man. No. Well, no, I'm laughing because I had the same experience. Yeah. You know, I was in Thailand when I got, no, I was in Vietnam with Spike when I got, and we were right towards the end when I started getting the scripts. Because I literally went from, like, I rapped Vietnam. My late grandmother's funeral was literally the day before I got into Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And there was just no way of making it, you know?
Hear that,
Rest in peace.
Appreciate it, you know? I mean, she's with me. You know what I'm saying? Lovecraft season one is for Ernestine Anderson.
There you go.
It's for my grandma. That's what I decided, and that's what it... that's what I meant. Everybody didn't show up, you feel me?
Right.
In that scene, you know, everyone didn't show up, and I was waiting on grandma to get there, and she came in and she did a thing. You know, if I talk to her, if I use her son's song about her husband, I'm going to get grandma.
There you go. And it worked.
Shit, man. I'm talking about my grandma. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So I was getting those scripts in Vietnam, right? And I was reading them and having the same reaction you was having, bro. Like, oh, shit. And then I started texting Misha being like, girl, this is sick. Like, what the... And I guarantee you, I have one text message from her saying, yeah, I know. Period. It's wild as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's Misha Green.
When I asked her about how hands-on Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams were on the show, she was kind of like, they weren't really hands-on at all. One, because they knew I could handle it. I'm like, yeah, of course you can handle it, Misha Green. I'm not even trying to disrespect. But yeah, it's like...
Talk that shit.
That's why I said I respect the hell out of you for even saying it, because a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of them would give them the props because they are the names, but you know, you can tell that the Misha's DNA is all over, you know, the roots of this show, and it's, sure. it's honestly better for it. You need someone like that for a show like this. I love a natural segue though, because you mentioned being in Thailand, so we have to talk about working with Spike Lee, being the son of Delroy Lindo in a film.
Delroy Lindo in a, what I think what a lot of people call him might be a career best, and that's a high bar.
Yeah, for this performance you're talking about.
I agree.
What was your experience like in shooting The Five Bloods?
Well, it's like this, Blood, as we would say on set. I feel like I'm assigning Misha Green. Spike is the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Delroy is the GOAT, you know? Everybody is there for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, it felt very much like we was all out of pocket, you know? It felt like we were the first, you know, U.S. Olympic team.
Word.
They threw us overseas and said, okay, go win. Go win. And rookie, you on the team, so go ahead. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it felt like, you know? And it's us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just gonna be straight with it. It's us. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that checkmate shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you do that, it's like you ain't about it. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to run all over the young boy, if the young boy is trying to outshine and bully you, you know what I'm saying? That's for the birds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna say we ain't men. You know what I'm saying? That we didn't brush up against each other, you know?
Yeah.
That did happen, because that's what happens. And we're artists, right? So we're ornery.
And
you know
when
I'm
you're
saying?
Playing a relationship of that nature, too. Yeah. There's you a lot know of tension saying? In that relationship.
But because of that, because of the lack of, I would say, toxic black masculinity, you know what I'm saying? Because the lack of that, we got to get in there, man. And we got to, you can always tell how something is going when they say, you know, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? When we improv. And if you can improv, because everybody says they can improv, it's like, no, you can maybe, you know, lie. You know what I'm saying? Or like riff, you know what I'm saying? But a true improv is a jazz session, and everybody's got to play. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got to get in there and move and shake and trust the other person and really go out on the limb. And, you know, and there's the scene on the boat, man, where Brother Lindo is having his first episode, you know? And Spike, he had scripted some of it. And then we just kept going. We just, Delroy, right, you know, just kept going, and Clark Peters picked it up. And I'm a theater kid, man, so I can improv for days. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and so we just kept rolling and kept rolling and kept rolling and kept rolling kept rolling. And Spike was like, get that. You know what I'm saying? He was all in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he was saying, keep that, keep, you know what I'm saying? And we began to work, you know. So my experience with, first and foremost, Spike was incredible. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was one of those moments where he goes, it was like that. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Go ahead. I mean, Spike has been on me about, like, you know, stop that. You know what I'm saying? I say, I'll keep my head down, doing my thing. Stop that. Stop that. He would say to me, stop that. Mm-hmm. You know? I was actually 2 days after Five Bloods kind of hit Netflix. He said, stop that. Stop that. You know what you're doing. You know, don't play that. Don't play that soft shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what's
that. And that's how it worked. You know what I'm saying? It was like, no, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Because the cheat sheet with all things, you know, look at you guys. It's a beautiful combination here. Plus one is three.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all got something else going on. You know? I mean, I was very excited to come join y'all. You know?
Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. Really, really. Because again, it's not bullshit flows through this conversation. And I was looking through, I was like, because, I mean, you know, to be frank, it's been a conversation about, you know, we need to talk to Jonathan at some point, you know what I mean? So I knew, something was going on, but just the amount of times where we've gone back and been like, yeah, you guys are talking about some cool actors over there, but, like, have you seen this? And I'm literally pointing at Jonathan running up a hill in Vietnam, you know, hyped because he got the gold. I remember having to, you know, I was trying to get that scene because we wanted to use part of it for something, and it was just like, damn, this is just, it's, again, it makes sense because I talked to Spike after seeing the film around the time the trailer dropped in. I was trying to get him to talk about some of the performances, but he was really big on just being like, look, you know, I have a cast. There's a reason why I picked these people. And, you know, it sounds like he's just like, they know what the fuck to do. And it's good to hear you bolster that point, you know, just the fact that he's like, nothing's on the page, keep going, and we're going to catch it all, and it turns into something that's a really, you know, important moment in a very important film.
Yes sir.
Great.
Yes,
sir.
Now I want to spin off from that, because, you know, Cal saying how big of fans we've been of yours, and it really feels like you're just getting started,
right?
You mentioned earlier, you know, we were talking about Yaya, you said a journeyman on a similar path. How are you kind of envisioning your path? You know, you're about to start filming a new job tomorrow, you said, but what's kind of like your goal, if you have one, like a big picture going forward of, you know, what you want to choose, projects you want to choose, different roles you want to take?
Yeah, I mean, I think the transition is like, it's like this, blood. I love that. It's like this, blood. You know, I think when we start out, you know, with a word I really like called juvenilia, which means the beginning of, you know, you're at the beginning of your career, right? You know? Mm-hmm. Now, I this is it, you know, unless I'm out at 35, you know, 40, you know, Lord takes me, you know. But this is just the beginning, you know. I believe that. And the big transition that's happened, and Yaya and I have spoken about this a bit, or maybe not, or maybe we texted about it, I don't know. But he's the type of brother I would talk to about it. The shift happened, you know, when you're in school, you know, when you're trying to come to Hollywood, you're trying to come to New York, you really think about hierarchy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we've talked about Delroy Lindo. We've talked about, you know, but if I asked you, we don't even talk about it, right? We don't even give the answer, right? If I said, who's the greatest actor of all time in our culture, who would you say? You know, exactly who you're going to say.
Yep.
Right? Okay, we are going to say the same guy. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, you can be artsy if you want to, but then you'll be debated down, and you will land on the guy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mentality.
I was going to say,
Say his name. Yeah. Say his name.
That's amazing.
Then it's out. You know what I'm saying? The deep thing about that is, like, that's not us. I mean, D is, you know, the man. He's the man. Mm-hmm. We are all here because of D. Right. You know what I'm saying? We are all the children of Spike Lee and Denzel Washington,
right,
respectfully. That's just right. It. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't be a, you know, prodigal son and run off and do whatever you want to, but we are all here in this game, you know, because of these two brothers, 100%. You know? So I said to say this, that our generation and the mantle I've kind of taken up is to kind of not debase that idea, but you got to shift it. You know, it's not about hierarchy. It's not about who's going to be the next Spike Lee or the next Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. It's about territory, you know? And so as I look at my next pieces, you know, or my next jobs, I'm looking for territory, you know, but not external territory, interior territory. What part of myself have I not yet explored yet, right. You know? And so on that note, I would say, I mean, actually right now I'm hung up on Hamlet, you know, I'm hung up on Hamlet and trying to figure out how to freak it so we can tell that story. You know, wait, yeah. Atticus, and let go ahead.
No, I was going to say that you're doing that for The Harder They Fall.
No. The Harder They Fall is, I mean, he's a cowboy, right?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I know that was a Western.
Cowboy, yeah. Outlaw.
Okay. Uh-huh.
No, but you can
do Hamlet on a cowboy if you wanted to.
We could do Hamlet in, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sons of Anarchy did it on motorcycles.
This is what we're saying. You know what I mean? This is what we're saying, right. You know? But no, I like to take that to the stage or something, you know? Ooh. I like to take that to the stage, you know? It's for the homies, you know what I'm saying? The expansion of the culture. You know what I'm saying? And the beautiful thing about black culture is American culture. And the more clear you make that, the more you expand that, the more you expand American culture. And as we know, American culture pushes, you know, global trends and et cetera onward. So right. As an artist, my intention is to make an impact on the most people possible. You know, one of the reasons I feel so humble to be, you know, doing the Lovecraft thing, you know. I'm getting shy all of a sudden, but you feel me?
Because I know with The Harder They Fall, it's a Jay-Z is a producer on this project, correct?
Yeah, that definitely made my radar go up.
The conversation you're having, it sounds like a conversation that, you know, you and Hov would probably sit and eat up for a couple of hours. Have you talked to Hov? Like, what's your relationship with him? And if you have a relationship at all, what's that relationship like?
Best thing about.
Did you go to the Gold Party yet?
Oh yeah, I was there last year.
Talk about it.
Well, okay. Nah. But I will say this.
That's NDA.
We'll turn their mics off and everything. We'll talk about it later.
You know what I mean? I would say as I was moving into disrespecting everybody's privacy, but as I was moving closer to the premiere, I heard from the gods. You know, I heard from the people I needed to hear from, and even people I didn't think I needed to hear from. You know, and I felt their support. You know. The aforementioned was a part of that commune, you know what I mean? So it's like that.
Looking at Jonathan Majors talk about stuff like this, it makes me wonder, and I don't know if I'm speaking something into existence that wasn't there priorly, but J. Electronica, the movie starring Jonathan Majors. You can hit me up. Instagram, yeah. Twitter, all that. We can talk this out. Nah, but I think that's really dope. It seems like you would be among the right company, you know, in Jay and The Rock and things like that.
Yeah, they're cool. Well, James Samuel, brother. Yeah, he is our Bullets. He's our director. He's our director. I'll probably, when we finish up with this, I'll probably grab my guitar and walk my dogs up to his place.
That's what's up. Okay. You know? Ask him if he found his backpack.
Oh shit! He's gonna love that. He's gonna love that you said that, bro. Oh man! Oh, I can't wait to tell.
That's funny. You got the right one. Frazier's like one of the biggest Jay-Z fans that I know. For real. That's crazy. I mean, talking about, you know, a Western, what's that life like? You know, you're tackling Jim Crow and horror, and now like the flip side is the Wild West. What's that transition been like for you as an actor?
It's been great, you know, because the territory of, so I play a fellow named Nat Love. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Nat Love is very different from Atticus, you know. No spoilers here because it's in the log line, you know, but Nat Love, his parents were killed when he was 10 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet Nat again, you know, he's 30, mm-hmm. You know. We're going to have to change the script a little bit because I turned 31 in two weeks.
So. Right. Happy early birthday. Happy early birthday.
Peace. You know, he's 31 and he's on his vendetta. Mm-hmm. The way I see it is he's trying to make good and make things even. Mm-hmm. You know, he feels that, you know, in his life, you know, he was put at such a deficit. You know, and in this case, the person that took from him was not some raging racist. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All stories are different. Like, you know, Lovecraft is kind of man versus It depends on how you look at it, but you can look at it two of the four ways. You can look at it man versus society, mm-hmm. right? Which is if you looked at the family of the Freedmen, and that includes the Lewises and Baptistes and even the Braithwaites, it'd be us against society. Mm-hmm. I'm playing it as man versus self. You know, anarchist kind of going up against itself. You know, but that's my business. You know, but in that love, it's man versus man. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing. You know, man versus man, and then again because of the archetype he plays of the hero is always self versus self. You know, that's the journey. You know, yeah. But the exterior, the plot that's being, I feel like I'm in school, the plot that's moving things forward, which I don't mind. I'll talk this shit all day.
The plot moving things forward.
You'll say the plot moving things forward is man versus man. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it's Nat Love, which I play, versus Rufus Buck, played by Idris Elba. And that's all good to say because everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So it's on, you know, and it's high octane. You know, it's full on high octane. We're galloping, we're shooting, we're running, you know, and we call it the New West on mm-hmm. set. You know, it's the New West. It's the frontier that no one's seen before, you know, and yeah.
Did you go back to watch films like Posse and some of the other Black Western films to see at least what was done so you know what you wouldn't need to look into when you were trying to create this New West that you were doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I also, it's all about the, I won't say it's all about, but the subversion of it, you know what I'm saying? You know, John Wayne, Sundance Kid, Butch Cassidy, you know what I'm saying? Like, those guys, you look at those, what those fellas did, Clint Eastwood, you know, you look at what they did and go, okay, cool, that exists now. What is it like for us?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not in reaction, but in conversation to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and so in putting that together, it's like, this is the New West, you know what I'm saying? And also, they live in towns where it's just Black folks, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So we got a whole way of doing things, right. You know, mm-hmm. It's actually more Geechee and African, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. More tribal,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But we're on those horses, like we're riding with a different, you know, I'm literally riding my horse differently because there is no Western way of riding a horse.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like we know how to ride horses because we know how to ride horses,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Because we rode horses in Africa, you know what I'm saying? Right. You know, like right. to a degree, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, just expanding the genre, you know what I'm saying? Expanding the culture, you know what I'm saying? Very much like Brother Peele, you know, Get mm-hmm. Out. It completely blew up
right.
the horror genre, you know what I'm saying? So what we're attempting to do here in The Harder They Fall is completely put boot and spur up that genre's ass and completely expand it, you know what I'm saying? Expand it artfully, culturally, you know, thematically, and uh-huh. tell this very ancient story,
right.
you know? Right. You know, it's interesting. I know you call Last Black Man, Five Bloods, and Lovecraft kind of like a trilogy of black masculinity, but I'm starting to see even with this next one is like an interesting thread through your work of everything you choose is something that is expanding
right.
its genre and pushing that forward.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I got a kid, you feel me? You know, she came right when I was heading into graduate school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's fucked up. I remember thinking, you know, or if I do this, I got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, like, the degree is not enough. The degree is so she knows it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Daddy did that. And then, you know, she's got to, man, it can be hard.
Right.
It can be really difficult to hold your head up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And she's in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be very difficult to hold your head up as a person of color. You know, as a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so my job, I feel your job as a parent, you know, is to give your child opportunities.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's certain things I can do for her because I'm her father, mm-hmm. right? But if her father can, and the people he works with, his collaborators, can bang, bang, bang against the status quo and the zeitgeist enough and make enough space for her,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? She will then have a different experience, you know, than I had. You know, and I appreciate my experience. It got us here.
Word.
You know, but that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now I'm trying to explain to her that, you know, red is not a boy color and pink is not a girl color.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? But if she, imagine us growing up, would we be like, oh, you play golf? you know.
That's white people. That's a white people sport, something like that. Yeah.
And then we get Tiger come through. Tiger Woods comes through and does his thing. He fucks it up down the line. You know what I'm saying? Act like he ain't, you know, he don't want to be down. You know what I'm saying? But believe it or not, we still keep him. We'll still hold on to him.
You people still watching. Like,
he did that for us. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we need those champions. You know what I'm saying? Word. Unfortunately, until we don't. You know, until we don't.
Hearing you talk about this way, especially in terms of legacy and what you would be able to pass down to your daughter in terms of, you know, the future and just understanding, but also the way you talk about the craft, do you write? Like, do you have ideas that you're planning on putting into, you know, films, be it short or, you know, feature length, TV shows, stuff like that?
I mean, I'm a poet.
Okay.
I can stand up and say that straight.
That makes sense. Okay, I can see that.
So I do that, you know, I'm trying to put together, not trying, there's no try. I'm putting together a collection,
right?
But no, like for instance, like we're not really shooting yet, but I'll go sit with James and we'll go through the script, and I'll say, well, what would we say like this? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We go at it this way, you know? Go peace to the God. Yes, yeah, he'll do a steak, and we'll go with that. You know, Misha Green too. You know, I remember Misha one time. I was working through the script, and I said, well, what if I? And she texts me back, do not ask me about changing lines.
Oh wow,
She was saying, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like Spike, go ahead. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like once you work at that, let me just say this, if that frequency comes through you, the other person realizes there's no malice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that the same muse that spoke to them to put it down on paper is the same muse that is speaking to you. You know, and says, well, things have changed and shifted. You know, say it this way. Try it this way.
100%. I guess that's the key, I think, to people wanting to come up in the land of Hollywood. What's the old saying? You catch more flies with sugar or something like that. Is that the adage?
Oh, yeah. More flies with nectar than with.
There you go. If you give people a little, especially if you trust them enough to be in a position like that, you should then, you know, feel free to let them do what they do. And I can see it with someone like Jonathan Majors. You know, there's a lot of passion there. You know, there's a lot of connection there. So I would say, if you came up to me excitedly saying, hey, the way we just did this to my uncle, that's fucked up, we got to redo it, I don't think I could say, let me talk to you tomorrow. Like, I think at the very least, I think we would need to welcome that. Because again, at that point, she may have created it, but it's turned into something else, and it's more people are involved and more people are invested. So again, if you're on the come up, that's a key. That's a real major key. After this, Jonathan, are there any other scripture signs? Is there anything else you can talk about in regards to the future of Jonathan Majors films, TV, anything like that?
Yeah, we got a really cool. They're all really cool, but there's something that's going to hit pretty soon and really, really hard. You know, there's that. That I can't speak to, but you know, hit me. I'll give you my shit. You know what I'm saying? Hit me when it hits.
Yes, sir.
But then after I finish this film, I'm gonna run off and do a film called Devotion.
Okay.
Up in Vancouver.
Okay.
With our brother JD Dillard. I don't know if you know JD.
Why is that name familiar?
He did. You know him. He did a film called. Here I go.
See, look, again, don't edit this, whoever's doing this, because I know the name is mad familiar. He did, he's FN-1226 in Rise of the Skywalker. There's something else he did, though. That's not what I'm thinking of when I think of J.D. Dillard. What's this?
Jacob name? Lattimore, my baby boy.
Oh, Jacob Lattimore from Slight. Yeah.
Jacob Lattimore. Slight!
Yeah.
You've done it. Yeah. Woo, shit. Yeah, J.D., listen to this, man. Sorry, bro. I got you, man.
J.D. is an accomplished brother as well. No disrespect to him at all.
We're doing a film called Devotion,
mm-hmm.
Which follows these two pilots. I play a pilot named Jesse Brown. And Jesse is, I'm going back to Korea, Korean War pilot, full-on war film, full-on. And, it's incredible, you know. And we've been working on it for probably about almost a year now, you know what I'm saying? Just like trying to get it in bed and move it and massage it. And I think in the middle of quarantine, he sent a new script. Glenn Powell is playing in it.
Wow.
We co-star together. Glenn's a great guy.
Yeah. Another legend.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what's on? You know, so that's as much as I can say about everything now, but it's You know, you just got to clean your plate. You know,
facts. Well,
it sounds like you're staying busy.
Yeah, no, 100%. Again, I would say that the talking up of Jonathan Majors finally getting to watch less is outright, you know, succeeded any of our expectations. Much Peace. Success to you, Jonathan. Thank you for coming through.
And, thank you for joining, brother.
Keeping it real with us, brothers. You know, as long as you keep. And again, the offer's extended in the future. I think, you know, this won't be the last time you'll hear from us. So, yeah. Thank you, Jonathan.
Peace, brother. Thank you very much.
And there you have it again. A quick, well, I shouldn't say quick because we had a great conversation, but special episode, special bonus episode for the week. We still will be having our regularly scheduled episode drop this week, Wednesday, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. For Fraser Tharp, this is Cal advising you as always. Put your mask on. Keep your mask on if you're going outside. If you're going to be around people, especially people you don't know, if you have something, you don't want to get them sick. If they have something, they don't want to get you sick. So just common courtesy. What's the worst that could happen? You get hot, you know, you could be getting hot and then, you know, be in a very different world than you thought you would be if you don't have that mask on. 6 feet, tune in and watch less. Peace. Watch Less is hosted by Fraser Tharp and myself, Cal. Our producer is Taliba Newman. Our associate producer and sound engineer is Jasmine Plata. Our editor is Tyler Boltheis. Our production manager is Chancel Correa. Talent booker is Anthony Allred. Our junior booker is Austin Bailey. Our director of talent relations is Kristen Price Harrell. Senior director of operations is Jen Stewart. Watch Less is a part of the Complex Podcast Network.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.